For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in to Tide Talk Live. Stacey Blackwood on the Believe Network. Excited to discuss Nate Oates and the Alabama men's basketball team in the Final Four as they get set to take on UConn on Saturday night. Also going to dive into some football talk as Coach Kalen DeBoer and his team get ready to hold their second scrimmage on Saturday afternoon. So it's a busy weekend for Crimson Tide fans, and we're excited to kind of talk a little bit about basketball and football here on Tide Talk Live. But as always, make sure you do like, share, and subscribe to the channel. We're also free and available wherever you find podcasts. So if you enjoy our content here at Tide Talk Live, make sure you give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, also available on Spotify, Amazon Music, part of the Believe Network. As we look at this basketball team and this matchup against UConn, it's obvious that UConn's the better team. They've been maybe the most dominant team this entire season. They have just steamrolled everybody here in the NCAA tournament. I think they've won 10 straight NCAA tournament games by 13 points or more. That is just incredible. They have been dominant in the month of March and April the last couple of years. So we'll see what Oates and company have in store for Dan Hurley and the UConn Huskies on Saturday night there in Phoenix, because Alabama's going to have to play their best. It's just that simple. Alabama is capable of beating UConn, no question about it. If their shots are falling, they are more than capable of taking down the Huskies. So it's going to take a big-time effort from Mark Sears, Rylan Griffin, Grant Nelson, Nick Pringle, all those guys. And now it's looking like Latrell Wrightsell Jr. is going to be available for Alabama. And that's going to change the game for Alabama, because what that's going to be able, allow them to do is play four guards. You know, they can play Sears, Estrada, Wrightsell, and Griffin, and then put Grant Nelson at the five, make Donovan Cligan, come out and space the floor and open that floor up for Alabama offensively, and get him away from the basket and his rim protection ability. And that will allow Alabama to, maybe be more fluid on offense and maybe give them an extra shooter on the floor as well, because they're going to have to shoot their way to victory against UConn, because they're both a great offensive team. Even though they like to slow the tempo down, they're the most efficient offense in the country. Their defense is right there in the top 10 as well in defensive efficiency. So they're a complete team. It's obvious why they're the number one overall seed. It's obvious why they have been the most complete team throughout this college basketball season, because they are just so balanced offensively and defensively. And then you couple that with some really good players and, the best coach in college basketball at this time, and Dan Hurley. So Alabama's got the work cut out for him. And Nate Oates has done a tremendous job getting Alabama to this point. But I like that he and his team are not satisfied with just reaching the Final Four. They want to win the whole thing. They prepared. They're ready. I think they're going to have a great game plan for UConn. And I think Alabama's going to give UConn a run for their money. It's hard to predict a win for Alabama because, like I said, you got to call a spade a spade. UConn is the better team. But the best team doesn't always win. And Coach Oates kind of mentioned that a few times throughout this week, that the better team doesn't always win. You get hot at the right time. If Alabama makes, I think 15 threes in this game, they got a chance to come away with a win. I think that is their best chance to win, is, getting 40 to 45 points from the three-point line against UConn. And if they can do that, they have a great shot, and I like their chances. It's going to be really interesting to see what the game plan is from Nate Oates and how healthy Latrell Wrightsell is, because I believe that does change the dynamics of this game. If Wrightsell is completely healthy and he's making his shot, the Alabama is as good as anybody in the country. And I think you saw that in the middle portion of the SEC season when they were kind of going on their hot run. When Wrightsell was healthy, this team was playing as good as anybody in the country. His last game out when he was fully healthy was against Texas A&M at home, the first time they kind of brought out those retro uniforms. And they beat a really good Texas A&M team, 175. And it really showed what type of team they were capable of being when they are completely healthy. And they have not been healthy, you know, 100% since that point in the season. I think that was mid-February when that game took place. So you're looking at a team that if they are 100% healthy, they are right there, I believe, with UConn, Purdue, some of the better teams in the country. So a lot to look forward to in that matchup. Excited to see what Coach Oates has in store in this team. And I think they have a shot. I think they're going to be right there in it in the final few minutes of that game on Saturday night. And if you can do that, if you make it to the under four timeout in the second half and it's anybody's ball game, I like Alabama's ability to make the clutch shots and come away with a win. So looking forward to that. Can't wait to see what the Crimson Tide can do there in Phoenix against the UConn Huskies. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about some Alabama football because there's a lot to kind of unpack and unfold here. You know, A-Day's coming up in a little over a week. They're going to have their second scrimmage on Saturday as I record this on Friday. So we're going to learn a lot over the next couple of days about this team. And then once we reach the actual portion of the season or of the spring where A-Day comes around and everybody's able to see it, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they can do. So a lot to look forward to. Just kind of want to touch on a few things that you know, are pressing throughout the entire roster. Just kind of look at each position group real quick and kind of what we're hearing this spring so far and go with that. As far as the quarterback's concerned, I've heard great things about Jalen Milroe. I've heard I think the word I've heard most is consistent, but I've also heard a lot of high praise for Ty Simpson as well, that he's been really impressive and that he has all the tools to be a really good player. Haven't heard as much from Dylan Lonergan this spring, a guy who really showed up and showed out as a true freshman in some scrimmages. But then you look at a kid like Austin Mack, the transfer from Washington, just 17 years old. He does have a year of experience in Kalen DeBoer's system. At 6'6", 225, you're looking at a kid with a strong arm and the ability to make any throw on the field that you need. You know, some highlights released from the scrimmage last week show that he can make some throws on the run. So excited to see what he looks like both in the second scrimmage and on A-Day next week. So the quarterback room, I think, is in really good shape and is probably a strength of this team as spring practice continues. And speaking of strengths of the team, I think when you talk about the running backs, that is a deep backfield headlined by Justice Haynes and Jam Miller, who I think are going to be elite players for Alabama this fall, but also hearing a lot of good things about Richard Young, a guy who redshirted last year, and then true freshman early enrollee Daniel Hill has also, you know, turn some heads this spring as well. So I think running back is a strength for Alabama this spring and will continue to be in the fall of 2024. When you look at the wide receivers, I'm hearing that Jeremy Bernard, the transfer from Washington, has really done a good job and kind of taken over as that wide receiver one. But you got to remember, guys like Kobe Prentice has stepped up. You know, you got Emmanuel Henderson, you have Kendrick Law. So there's some guys that have been there for a couple years that have experience at Alabama who are also making plays. Emmanuel Henderson's a name to watch out for. And then, of course, freshman phenom, 6'5", Caleb Odom, is a guy who is also making plays. Even Jaleel Hurley talked about him the other day, saying that he is a difficult guy to cover. So Caleb Odom has been flashing as well for Alabama. You know, tight ends have been promising this spring. You look at what they have, a lot of guys coming back, C.J. Dupree, Robbie Oots, Danny Lewis, Ty Lockwood, they're all back. So there's plenty of talent there at tight end as well. And I think you're going to see Alabama, you know, more in 11 personnel besides 12 personnel, which they were in a lot last year. So it will be interesting to see what the tight ends look like in 2024. You know, obviously the offensive line is a question mark, more specifically the tackles this year. There's been a lot of talk about Parker Brailsford not, you know, missing some practice in the scrimmages as well. Don't want to really comment on something where there's not specific details on what's going on. So we'll just kind of put Parker on the back burner for right now. But looking at James Brockermeyer, Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts, that is a impressive interior offensive line. You look at Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts. You know, Tyler Booker is probably the best guard in college football, and Jaden Roberts is certainly on the short list of that as well. So I think you feel good about the guard spot. You know, when you hear people talk about James Brockermeyer and the coaches talk about Brockermeyer, they talk about how smart he is from a football standpoint. And when you're looking for a center, that's what you need. You need somebody who can get your guys lined up, get the right calls in. You know, we saw how important making, you know, good snaps were in the shotgun formation. So if he can do that, I think you got to feel confident in what James Brockermeyer can do at center. Hearing that Joseph Iannotta, the true freshman, is getting a lot of work at number two center right now with Parker out. So that's also something to keep, keep your eye on this spring. As far as the tackles go, Elijah Pritchett, B-Tran, Will Conformby, Miles McVay, those are the four guys who are kind of battling out for the two starting tackle spots. Of course, Caden Proctor is going to be on his way back to Tuscaloosa as well. So you got to think he's coming back to take back over that left tackle spot. So I'm really interested in what happens at right tackle this spring. It should be a lot of fun. I think Coach Kapp, the new offensive line coach, is excited with what he's got to work with on the offensive line, even though there will be some challenges, you know, there at the tackle position. You can kind of, you know, there's a lot of people that I think are over-concerned about the tackles, but I think it's important to remember that you can kind of cover up some deficiencies you may have in the offensive line with some quick passing, with a good rushing game, with a good interior play. So, you know, while it is a concern and maybe a question mark, I don't think people should get carried away with how big of a concern it is heading into 2024. Now, as we shift our focus to the defensive side of the ball, the defensive line has just dominated most of the spring. And you look at what Alabama returns in that group, it's no surprise. You're talking about Tim Keenan. You're talking about Tim Smith, James Smith, Jamarian Latham, LT Overton. There is just a wealth of talent there along the defensive line. And I think Kane Womack, Freddie Roach, they're really, really excited what they have with that bunch. And I think that's a group that's really stood out so far this spring. When you look at the outside linebackers and the inside linebackers, of course, you have, you know, Deontay Lawson and Jahad Campbell there as your off-ball linebackers. You know, one of the best duo of linebackers, inside linebackers in the country. They've been really good this spring. Coach DeBoer's actually spoke really highly of Jeremiah Alexander, a third-year guy who is now moving to off-ball linebacker. And he has been bragged on a lot this spring by the coaching staff as well. You look at your edge rushers, the Wolf linebacker position, you got Q Robinson, you got Keanu Coate, you got Quay Rusall. Those guys have turned heads this spring. And even redshirt freshman Yonze Pierre is a guy who has been brought up a bunch as well by the coaching staff. So those are just some names to kind of keep your eye on, you know, for tomorrow's scrimmage and then also A-Day when it rolls around next weekend. So a lot to be excited about, I think, from the linebacker group. I think it could be a strength of the team as well. Then you look at the secondary, a group that I think a lot of fans are concerned about, rightfully so. A lot of talent is gone from last year's team. No more Kool-Aid. No more Tarion, no more Caleb Downs, no more Jalen Key. There is a lot of guys gone from last year's starting group there in the back end, but I think it's going to be a little better than what people think. I've heard a lot of good things about Damani Jackson, the transfer from USC, that he's had a very encouraging spring, that his talent and his leadership has been pivotal for this team. We all know what kind of leadership and player that Malachi Moore is. I think that the addition of Keon Saab from the transfer portal has been significantly impactful for the team so far. And I think his playmaking ability, that's something I've kind of heard so far about him, is that he's a playmaker. And I think he's going to be a really nice addition to this back end of the defense for Alabama. You're looking at guys, some young guys at corner. I mean, Zabian Brown, Zay Mincy, Jalen Mbakwe, Jaleel Hurley, Red Morgan, Peyton Woodyard, Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. All those are really young guys who you could see have roles in the secondary for Alabama. Devontae Smith is another guy who has a lot of experience at Alabama, not necessarily in this particular system, but he does have a lot of experience at Alabama, a guy who's battled injuries in his time in Tuscaloosa, but the coaching staff really likes him as well. I think when you look, you can kind of wrap up the defensive back in this way. They're thin, they're inexperienced, but there is a ton of talent in that back end. I think the coaching staff likes what they see so far, but I do think in terms of portal additions post-spring, that's probably the position group that you're going to see Alabama target maybe the most, you know, once that opens back up later this month. So I think when you look at this program, this football program and this football team, as they head into the second scrimmage on Saturday and then wrapping it up on A-Day next Saturday, there's a lot of question marks on this team. But I do think there's some people that are really overreacting to some of these things. I think the overreaction of the offensive line is a little bit too much. And I also think the same thing for the back end. But I do think in terms of what I am most concerned about, it is the secondary, simply because you can't really mask weaknesses in the secondary the way that you can in an offensive line. So I'm not as concerned about the offensive line as I am the secondary, but I do think that both those position groups are going to be solidified post-portal into the summer months, and then as fall camp comes around, you're going to see a little bit different team, because I do think the portal is going to be crazy. It's the best word I can come up with. I think it's going to be a wild time at the end of this month when the transfer portal opens back up. And there's going to be a roster influx, not just at Alabama, across the country. And that is going to be something that's going to have everybody's head spinning. So that is something to look forward to as well, whether you think of that as a positive or a negative. But really excited about the scrimmage coming up tomorrow. Obviously, the Final Four matchup as well on Saturday night. What a weekend for Alabama football fans and basketball fans, just Alabama fans in general. What a time to be a Crimson Tide fan with the Final Four matchup, first in program history, a chance to kind of turn the college basketball world upside down with an upset win over UConn. And then, of course, another scrimmage happening on Saturday for the football team leading up to the A-Day game next Saturday in Tuscaloosa. But guys, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for watching or listening. Please make sure you do like, share, and subscribe. Leave us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts as well. We're going to be back real soon to kind of recap what we hear from the scrimmage. Also recap, hopefully, a national championship run for Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide on the hardwood in Phoenix. But that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you real soon. Roll Tide.